Welcome to the latest episode of University Registrars Talking About Stuff. And in this episode, it's my enormous pleasure to talk to Sheena Stewart, who is University Secretary at Abertay University in Dundee. Sheena has worked at Abertay for an extraordinary 30-year period, but given what we've been through lately, we mainly look back at the past 12 months and then into the future too. Sheena has led the university's coronavirus response team throughout this time and observes that the reaction of colleagues across the institution to the COVID challenge has been tremendous, representing a really strong team effort. Collaboration with the University of Dundee and Dundee and Angus College, as well as with the City Council and Public Health, has been really powerful and positive throughout this period. And similarly, at national level, with University of Scotland and NUS Scotland working well together with universities and the Scottish Government. Thinking about new patterns of working for the future which have emerged from the experiences of last year, Sheena highlighted the steps taken to include voices from a diverse range of colleagues across the university in developing policies and procedures. Stressing that not everything can be perfect for staff or students has been important in setting expectations, and students have responded extremely well, even in the most trying circumstances. Looking ahead at the uncertain future for the sector, including regarding student applications, international enrolments, and the impact of new COVID variants, Sheena is nevertheless optimistic about what the years ahead hold. Given the experience of blended teaching delivery, flexible working, and patterns of student learning, it looks like Abertay is well placed to deliver successfully on its strategy in the years ahead. Sheena is similarly upbeat about the prospects for the rest of the sector too. I do hope you enjoy listening to the discussion. Welcome then to another edition of University Registrars Talking About Stuff. And I'm delighted this time to introduce Sheena Stewart. Sheena is University Secretary at Abertay University. Welcome, Sheena. Really good to talk to you. It would be helpful just for me to know, and also for listeners, to hear a little bit about your role. What are your duties? Because everyone's, you know, job is slightly different in your position and my position. And tell us a bit about how long you've been at Abertay and where you were before. How did you end up there?
Well, there we go. It's lovely to be here, Paul. Thanks for inviting me along to chat. So, yes, I'm University Secretary. That covers corporate governance, student and academic services, legal support. I don't have responsibility for finance, HR, those types of services. So it's predominantly the academic and the student side. And I have been, would you believe, at Abertay for 30 years before we were a university. So we were Dundee Institute of Technology many years ago. And I've had an absolute ball over the 30 years, having great opportunities to do lots of different things over that time. Not least of which has been the last year when we've had the pandemic. And for my sins, I became chair of our coronavirus management team at the end of January last year. And we're just about to hit our 100th meeting of that group. We've been very busy all that time. So yes, it's been quite 30 years, topped up with the last 12 months of unexpected pandemic.
I mean, it has been a heck of a 12 months. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just set that in a wee bit of context in terms of, you know, Abertay as an institution. So is it a kind of highly decentralized or centralized model? What about the scale? But also the other interesting thing I was going to ask you is about, you know, the extent to which, you know, the universities in Dundee work together, or you chuck bricks over the wall.
Well, in terms of our scale, we're quite compact. So we're a single site campus right in the centre of Dundee, just over 4,000 students. That's about four buildings right next to each other, the library, main building, a couple of ancillary buildings. So in that sense, it's been, I guess that's made it easier to manage because we don't have distributed campuses. So it's really been very focused. We also we have a fairly slimline structure, so three schools, academic schools plus a graduate school, and we have therefore, you know, everything, all the policies are easy to roll out. You know, I think back a few years ago to when we introduced completely online submission of student work, we did that within one term because we could do that. We have about 200 academic staff, 3 academic teaching schools. And so these sorts of things are actually quite straightforward to do. And you know, we have a small management team as well. So it's really quite a tight, tight team that makes things easier. We have worked really well with our neighbouring university, University of Dundee, and the local college as well, Dundee and Angus College. And so, for example, when it came to asymptomatic testing for students, it was very quickly University of Dundee agreed that they would do the testing and that would be available to our students as well as the college students. So really good collaboration throughout that time, both in Dundee with City Council, Resilience Partnership, Public Health. And then obviously we have, we're a small group of 19 HEIs in Scotland, so the university secretaries and the COVID leads have been meeting, you know, once, twice a week for the whole time. Really good collaboration there as well. So.
The thing about the way in which Higher Education Scotland is organised means, you know, as you say, it is, you know, generally it's a smaller grouping of institutions, which makes life easier in a sense. But the you are much closer to government than and, you know, that's, I, you know, imagine got positives and negatives attached to it as well. But it does feel like, you know, you are much more able to be, or whether you like it or not, directed by them and therefore have to respond to what they throw at you very, very quickly. Has that been your experience?
Well, that's true in some senses, but we actually, because we can speak as one, we can speak as a group very easily. And we've been meeting with the Scottish Government officials every week for most of the pandemic. So they, you know, they've been really helpful. They can understand our issues and concerns and relay them on to ministers. You know, quite often it's been very quick feedback required from them. So usually on a Friday evening, here's a draft of new guidance. We'd love your comments. Or sometimes it's even been a shorter period. But I think because it's a, you know, there's a group of us, say about 20, we can get that feedback to them quickly. And our colleagues in University of Scotland, who are in the middle of all this, are really great at handling that coordination as well. So it's been challenging, and that's partly because of the pandemic. Some of the guidance, you know, we've not had much time to look at it, to throw in our insights into how that can be implemented on the ground. But generally, the officials are very open to hearing about issues and concerns. And obviously, they speak to other stakeholders as well, the unions, the National Union of Students in Scotland and so on. But I think generally, it's been a huge amount of engagement, lots of opportunities to feed in. And yeah, generally, I think it's worked on the whole well.
Oh, that is good to hear. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's harder in England because of the scale, and I do think there's something to be said for that, you know, smaller number of institutions acting in concert. The kind of next tier down, I mean, you're secretary to the governing body at Abertay. How has it responded? I mean, has it been, you know, meeting more frequently? Has it been, you know, engaging and supportive with senior leadership?
Very supportive overall. We've got a fantastic governing body, the court here. What I did sort of last March was just started doing weekly updates to court. So as we were going into lockdown, we actually locked down and closed the university on the 16th of March and sort of just did a lock and leave of the campus. So you can imagine, well, every organisation was going through this complete turnaround of the way in which we operated. So I did a weekly update, which was very, you know, from, you know, because everything was happening so quickly, it was just giving them a sense of the range of things that we were having to think about. And that went on into the summer. We had, I think, one extra meeting before the end of that session, and we had a more updates over the summer. But we've tried to keep, my sort of advice has been to try and keep the structures and the systems more or less as planned, and not do too many emergency situations or meetings, or add in emergency or novel committees, because I think all of our committee structure has generally worked without too much tinkering. And as long as court has been kept up to date with, you know, live activity and is reassured that we're acting to keep people safe and continuing to plan strategically and implement strategic plan, then I think that's fine, and we don't have to impose too much new or novel structure or change on it.
Yeah. And they've adapted to the kind of remote operations then?
Yes, it's been very, touch wood, it's been very smooth. And you know, we've had our court meetings, you know, we have some ground rules in court meetings, whereas in normal meetings people would be using the chat bar. I think when it comes to the formal court meeting, we don't tend to use that unless you've got a problem with your sound. So just with a few ground rules, it works very well. And in fact, you know, like most universities, we'll consider how much we use that even if we're back on campus, because we do get more engagement from people who may not be able to make it physically in a normal given court can when it's online. So I think we will want to go back to some face-to-face, but we'll definitely want to keep some virtual meetings going.
I'll come on to that in a minute. Before I do that, let me go back to your 100 or so meetings of your COVID response group. I mean, looking back over all those meetings, and I'm sure they've been assiduously recorded in every detail, I mean, what are your reflections on it? I mean, it's a lot of meeting time. Things have changed a lot over the past 12 months. I mean, what are your reflections in thinking back on that period?
Well, I think first of all, it's the huge commitment from colleagues. We've had a core group of about 10, and we've, you know, as maybe others have done, brought in other people from time to time. So huge commitment from them to that. And we've also ramped up and ramped down the number of meetings per week as the situation has dictated. But I think it just bringing those different minds from across the university in a way that we wouldn't, you know, I would never have worked with this particular group of people before. But it's been really satisfying seeing their leadership. You know, they are at all different levels of the university, but everybody's brought leadership to their particular specialism, whether it's occupational health, health and safety, communications. So I'm very, very grateful as chair of that group to all of them and the hours they've put in as well. You know, we had an outbreak in our halls of residence in September. And again, that was a very intense period for the CMT, as we call it. But I think that commitment, the time, the humour, the good humour that we have amongst the group, it's just been a fantastic and very rewarding aspect of what could have been a very difficult situation, I think.
I've certainly witnessed very similar things as well, and it has been a bit of a roller coaster year, I think. But you mentioned kind of new patterns of working, you know, in terms of formal meetings, the court earlier. But what about? Everyone's had to adapt to different patterns of normal working, working, you know, from home a lot of the time. How do you think that will play out when things get back to, in inverted commas, normal? I mean, will we have the same patterns of working, or what's going to happen?
I don't think so. I think we've all recognised that the flexibility can work very well, and we're already looking at our flexible working policy to make it fit for what will be post-pandemic. And it's about, you know, trusting colleagues. I guess most universities have a fairly flexible working policies already, but I think it's just taking that to the next level and supporting those. And we now have a better idea about what setup is required at home in order to make it easy for people to, you know, you have to be able to switch off from the work and, you know, have that work-life balance as well. So we've been learning all the time. We also have a group of voluntary staff called, we call lead voices, who are lead voices for the different protected characteristics, but also cover, we added to that a long time ago, people, pregnancy and maternity, and people with caring responsibilities. So those voluntary staff who we've been meeting monthly during the pandemic have been really a rich source of insight into, you know, what that work-life balance is like when you have caring responsibilities and young children and so on. So that, again, we increased the number of times that we met. We used to meet once a term. We've been meeting once a month with that group, and that's actually been, again, a much more rich engagement. So a real learning point for me that frequent meetings don't necessarily mean you're just treading the same ground. You know, it's been every meeting that we're adding new insight and getting different perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, that is really interesting because, I mean, whilst, you know, it's commonly asserted that, you know, the way in which we're interacting in meetings now is, you know, is different from, you know, face to face, and we all learn to behave differently, et cetera, et cetera. And that will have an impact on a more flexible or a more agile pattern of working. I do think as you rightly said, I mean, the ways in which different groups and, you know, different individuals have had to respond to very different and often really challenging circumstances is something that, you know, whilst in principle universities, you know, have tried to be accommodating to, in practice it's pretty hard because, you know, we tend to go for a kind of broad brush model and then try and accommodate, you know, individual differences. But even that is really hard. So I do think that, you know, the approach that you described is a really powerful one in terms of ensuring that, you know, those, you know, various needs and requirements are actually positively addressed within your approach to a working pattern. And I do think, you know, we've got to look for positives and things that are coming out of all of this. But that recognition of the interests of those different communities within a kind of university working structure, I think, you know, sounds really powerful.
Well, it is. And I think there is also in that discussion and debate and dialogue that we have, there's a recognition that the university can't make everything perfect for every individual, particularly during this time, but we can use the insights we gain to set some parameters for example, what expectations students have of staff. You know, that it may be that we've had to sort of say to students, you know, don't expect a response, you know, overnight. You know, when you send an email at, you know, two minutes past midnight, and, you know, setting giving templates, examples for staff to use as their out of office messages so that they quite often feel they don't want to sort of say no to students. So giving some tools to help staff sort of put those parameters in place that help them, you know, support them in their work. I think that's the type of thing that's come out of it. And we're always open to more ideas. And as I say, one idea won't fit everyone, but I think if we've got a combination of ideas, we can kind of work our way towards a better approach.
Absolutely. And I think there is an awful lot, you know, positive we can derive from this. I mean, we talked a little bit about for the students there. And I mean, you know, I think, you know, this generation of students have been through, you know, pain like no other. And, you know, I fear successive generations are going to feel the washout of this as well. But one of the things it seems to me that, and I don't know if this is the experience in Dundee, but I mean, there have been parts of the media in particular, but also we found this with, you know, elements of, you know, local residents actually vilifying students, you know, picking on those. And there have been a few, a tiny minority, I have to say, who've behaved badly and broken the rules in the past 12 months. But they are a tiny minority. However, they're the ones that get focused on. And actually, the vast majority of students have behaved extraordinarily well, it seems to me, and done everything that we've asked of them, as you would hope. And I think they've been an enormous credit to our institutions. But I mean, I don't know what your experience has been, but it does feel like the ones who have, the small number who've broken the rules have been the ones who've got all the headlines. What's your thinking?
Well, we I guess we didn't have too much negativity. We had a very public outbreak that we sort of caught very early on, right after 2 days into our first term, in one a private hall of residence, but one of which we have most of the rooms, and then in one of our own managed halls connected to social gatherings right in that very first week. So working with public health, we basically locked the students down. There was about 400 plus of them in one building, 100 in the other. And they were remarkably positive about it and tried to make the most of it. And local businesses who were, you know, delivering pizza to them, as well as, you know, the university. So we didn't get a negative reaction that students had behaved in that way. It was generally sort of broad support for them in the lockdown. Very kind of visible building in the centre of Dundee. Lots of post-it notes being used very creatively in the windows, which I think most people in Dundee found quite humorous, although we did have one or two complaints. So I think, and since then, obviously, we've not had any issues. So really, I think it's been positive, and that the local city council have worked with us to make sure that additional support was there, or just to monitor whether students needed support if they were self-isolating. And a big shout out to our local public health team who were fantastic during that. Very calm about it, you know, despite the frustration that it must have been for them. They did a live Q&A with our students while they were locked down, with me, talk through the situation, how quickly we would get them out of it. And that was fantastic. I think the students really appreciated that. And when the time is right, we will owe a big debt of gratitude to that team. So I think it's been fine, and we have an asymptomatic testing centre that hasn't caused any issues in the city either. We were really well used before Christmas. So I think overall, I think our experience has been positive, and I know the community are very aware of how many of our students have gone into clinical placement, for example, to support the front line, as they say. So I think generally it's been a positive experience.
The next point I was going to raise was around thinking, you know, so that's a bit of looking back, but thinking about the future then, what do you see as the kind of, and I think it's been hard to think about the future, to be honest, because, you know, we've been obsessed with the day to day. But what do you see as, you know, the future for universities coming out of this? Because a lot of institutions are facing real financial challenge at the moment. So what do you think the prospectus is for the medium and longer term for our sector?
I think we're going to be living with uncertainties for the next 2 to 3 years at least. The uncertainties over the numbers applying, the implications for international students. We know that these different variants might be with us for a while, and so we're coming out of a bad situation, the second wave now, we have to anticipate that there might be more of this to come, and the impact already, we're thinking ahead to the impact for the start of next session, particularly on international students. I think on the positive side, there are the elements that we know we had to do anyway, but I think the pandemic has kind of really brought forward that trajectory hugely. And that's having, I guess, a more blended learning approach with more digital. And I think we're there now. You know, we will have to figure out as a sector and as individual institutions what balance is right for us, you know, across disciplines. I think the flexible working, I think, is with us. I don't think we will go 100% back to the way we were before on that one. Lots of things like that. And I think financially, I think we might see more competition, I think, between universities as well. I think we're trying to look at it as on a UK basis, on a global basis. But I've been really struck by how positive students are or individuals are about applying to university. So the attraction of university seems still to be there. Certainly, you know, we're seeing that in our applications now for next session, which is really positive. And as someone with two daughters who are students as well, you know, I see that they still want to be involved. They still want to be on the campus. So I think I think we can be very positive, but we will have a few bumpy years to get past this.
And you talked about competition between universities there. I mean, but at the beginning we were talking about the collaboration you'd had both with Dundee and with the local college as well. Do you think that level of collaboration is also a way forward?
Definitely. And I think we see competition as a kind of, you know, it's a UK-wide thing. But I think certainly in Scotland, there's been a lot of emphasis, a lot of work on the learner journey, making it as smooth as possible for individual students to go as they leave school through various journeys, through their, you know, further education, higher education, and so that will continue, and there's work going on at the moment to make sure we're not, that students are still able to do that and move on successfully from college to university. So I think all that type of collaboration will absolutely be strengthened, I think, you know, over the next few years, because people want flexible routes. And I think, you know, if the pandemic has told us anything, we need to be able to flex and respond to different individual situations or wider situations. So I think that flexibility is absolutely key.
I agree with that. And I think that, you know, there will be many things we see that change out of the pandemic. And I do think the focus on the student and their learning, whether it be the journey to get into a university, or, you know, or the way in which that time in university is structured, or the way in which, you know, we focus on the learning when they're here, is actually a real positive. I mean, it seems to me universities have on the whole been much more focused on their students than they arguably have been in the past. I think the counterpoint to that is, I mean, certainly in England, the, you know, the issues and the challenges around accommodation rebate demands and, you know, fee reduction demands means that there is a kind of still a tension at the heart of the university student relationship, which the current funding model doesn't easily allow to be resolved. And obviously, that, you know, the funding arrangements are different in Scotland, but nevertheless you still have at least the accommodation challenge, if not the fees one.
Yeah, and we also have, you know, we have a situation where the unit of resource in Scotland has been getting slowly less and less every year. You know, good discussions take place every year with Scottish Government over the budget, and they want to do as much as they can. But I think that continues to be a challenge for us to get the grant resource that we need to continue to provide a really good student experience. And I think in the UK still a very positive student experience. I know in Scotland it's a really important part for us as well. And, you know, as a university, we got University of the Year Sunday Times Teaching Quality 2021. You know, that's really important for us, that the teaching is the best that it can be, but, you know, that comes at a cost. So that's always going to be a challenge, particularly as different priorities as the country recovers from COVID. There will be different stresses and strains on the budget for, you know, the devolved budget in Scotland, and we appreciate that. So there's always going to be that. Every year we wonder if we can still get the money that we need. But we know that the ministers are very supportive of the sector and want to do what they can. It's just going to be challenging as they get pulled in different directions, I think, to support recovery of different sectors of society.
So thinking again about the future, I mean, overall, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future for, you know, for Abertay, but also for higher education in general in our country?
Well, I think there's lots to be optimistic about, and I'm a naturally optimistic person. I think, you know, the students, there's so much interest and demand that's out there. It might happen in different ways, but I think the appetite is still there. Which is fantastic. We might see it morph into, you know, sort of more flex micro credentials and that type of thing that people can add, you know, add to their degree. But I think that was coming anyway. This just might bring it forward more quickly. I think for us at Abertay, we had just introduced a new strategic plan last year with it at the heart of a digital strategy, which is really quite timely. I've had to delay. I've been leading on our environmental sustainability strategy. I had to kind of park that to one side, but I'm looking forward to getting back to that. And it's just about ever continuous improvement of teaching and learning, really. We've got investment in the campus happening. We've got investment in our cyber quarter as part of our Tay Cities deal. So there's lots of new projects coming along that are, you know, will need and are having investment and will benefit the students. So really positive times ahead, I think.
Great. Well, Sheena, it's been absolutely delightful talking to you, and thank you for that really interesting conversation about all things pandemic, but also about the optimistic future for our sector. Thanks ever so much.
Fantastic. I've enjoyed that as well, Paul. All the best.
That's all then from University Registrars talking about stuff this time. There'll be plenty more along in due course, and if you can't wait, then please do check out the Registrarism blog on wonky.com, where you'll find lots of higher education comment and fun and games. Until next time.